for about a year, for a while. Actually, for more, I've had this theme on my heart: the purpose for the soul, God's purpose for the soul. And here recently, the Lord kind of did the same thing with this particular theme as he did with a previous theme several years ago. And I'm glad that he does, because we're so self-centered. You know, we are so self-centered. I have for a title: for thy purpose they are and were created. For thy purpose, and in the verse we'll actually look at it, it's in Revelation. But the way the King James translated it was "for thy pleasure." Well, if you look at the word pleasure, which we may or we may not look at, I'm not sure, but you can see purpose in there. So, for thy purpose they are and were created. Excuse me. And for, as I was saying, for a while I've just been seeing the purpose for the soul, for God creating the soul, was for the appearing of His Son. I'm not sure if I shared this last time I shared on Sunday, but I've shared it definitely throughout the classes that I've been doing, that you can see it even in the type of creation. The first main verse, which you can see it throughout, is John chapter 5, verse 39, where Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders, and He says, "I know you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life." So they're searching for eternal life in the Scriptures. And then He goes on to say, "They are they that testify of Me." If it speaks of life, Jesus is saying, it speaks of Me. And He goes on to say, in that chapter, further verses down, He goes on to say, "If you would have believed Moses, you would believe Me, for he wrote of Me." So, Moses wrote Genesis. And so even in this creation, I think we did share it the last time I spoke on Sunday, even in the creation type, there was a testimony to testify of Christ. The first thing that God does in His creation is say, "Let there be light." The light of that creation. The very thing that God desires to do in our own souls. As I said, I've seen it for a while, the Lord impressing it upon my heart, that the purpose for the soul of man is the appearing of Christ. And I'll use real quick just this order, just a real simple order. If a soul is not born again, then they must be born again. That's obvious. If you're born again, you know, yes, you must be born again. So life must appear in the soul where there was no life before. It's a very simple example. Okay, now, once the soul is born again, life is present. Glory is present. The Lord Himself is present. Now, the soul must continue in that very same purpose. The light of life must appear in that soul. The thing is, religion will not bring us to purpose. It will not declare purpose. It will actually declare the law. It will bring you, once you are, maybe even before you're born again, it'll say, okay, now you need to do this and you need to do that. The do's and don'ts, the lists of do's and don'ts. And that's not what the Scriptures, it's not even scriptural, because the Scripture testify of Christ. The Scripture, the testimony, the Scripture testifies of Christ. The testimony of Christ births in our own heart, because that's what it was purposed of God, an expectation to behold that very Christ, that very Christ would appear. The Israelites, the Hebrews, the Jews, they lived in expectation of the coming of the Messiah, of the appearing of the Messiah. That's what the word is, of the appearing of the Messiah. They lived in expectation of the appearing of the Messiah. And that in the Old Testament Scriptures, that was their expectation, the appearing of the Lord. That's what they lived in, that expectation. So how much greater the reality of what they were just a type and shadow of, should we not live in that same expectation. All right, and what I've covered in previous classes is that how the appearing of the Lord benefits us. And I say it this way, the appearing of the Lord is the purpose for the soul. You know, you can do this, you can do that, but if you're not walking in His appearing, then you are literally not serving purpose. That would be like the Israelites in the Old Testament scriptures, where they would refuse something of the Lord. They would refuse to walk in purpose. Okay? That would be like us refusing to walk in purpose. We may look at that here in a little bit. But how I've been seeing it is where we are benefactors. And we are. We truly are. The soul of man benefits from the appearing of Christ. I mean, He is life. Before we had no life. When the Lord appears in our soul, there's life. There's something there. The Lord is there. There was not there before. Now we have life. Okay, and then to walk in that light, to continue in His appearing, the light of life, to walk in the day, there is understanding, there is peace, there is, I like the way Rabin had mentioned it, the acknowledgement of what is present. Now in our hearts, there is the acknowledgement of the One who is present. There is the acknowledgement of the peace that is present, and therefore we can walk in peace. See, Christ is all these terms of the Old Testament Scripture. As I said, the first one was life. You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. Christ is the substance of that term. If you find any term in the Old Testament Scriptures, peace, righteousness, a kingdom, all these things, Christ Himself is the very substance of it. The thing is to walk in that understanding, to walk in the acknowledgement of the One who's there. Now, all these things benefit us tremendously. You know, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You are blessed. And it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. I mean, we receive salvation. We receive life. We receive peace. We finally come into purpose. We are allowed to partake of purpose, which is Christ Himself. And what the Lord has been doing in my heart for maybe a month or two, is just kind of, as He always does, and I really appreciate this, is that He's showing me that thus far, I have been the object of purpose. Man has been the object of purpose. On how man benefits from the appearing of Christ. Right? He gets to see. Right? First, he gets to have life. Man, the soul of man gets to have life. He benefits. He gets to have life. If he continues in purpose, then he gets to walk in understanding and wisdom. He gets to walk in the day. He's no longer blind, stumbling about. You know, no longer in darkness. But he gets to walk in the light. He is now no longer blind in the day, no longer born blind, but now he sees. All these benefit the soul of man. They all do. But it's with man as the object. Man is the recipient. Okay. Now I'll go ahead and read some comments. And I'll just go ahead and look at verses from that. But it's all, I think we always begin that way. Is that we begin with us always. We're always the ones in view. We are. We are always the ones. We see ourselves, and it's usually like, I'm trying to think of a way to say this, what Jesus can do for me. Mm-hmm. Even us whose hearts have been turned, it's still, how do I benefit? How do I benefit? Well, let me just go on and read right here. The purpose for the soul does not have man as its object, but Christ as its object. The Father is not looking at His Son saying, "Oh, Jesus, for these, this, do this." The Father is looking at His Son continually. And in the Old Testament, these will be a type. These will testify of you, my beloved son. These will testify of you. Do you see the difference in the object? The object's no longer man, but now these will testify of you. And now these who are born again, these will come into thy purpose. It's not the Lord's purpose for me. It's the Father's purpose for His Son. All right. Man is not the object. Christ is the object. Now listen to this. Hold on. It is not so much us receiving life, salvation, which we do. The Scriptures say we do. But there's two sides to the coin. See, that's man as the object. It is not so much us receiving life, salvation, peace, all these things which we absolutely do. But it is Christ receiving His inheritance. I didn't plan on reading this verse, but I want to look at it. See if I can find it. It's Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to His riches, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Nope, that's not the verse that I was looking for. It's His prayer. Here we go. Excuse me. It's chapter 1, starting with verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's making mention of them in his prayers. Ceases not to give thanks to the Father because of them. Okay, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And that's where we run with it. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The revelation of the Son. Yes. Yes. Man benefits. Going on. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Here we go. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. Very specific. Not your calling, but His calling. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That verse always puzzled me. So I just kind of left it alone. I never got to that portion of the verse. I just kind of stopped before that because it puzzled me. His inheritance in the saints? No. Where are the inheritors? And yes, with the Jacob understanding, we receive. We do. God has blessed me. God has done this for me. God has kept me. I mean, you can see the story of Jacob. He goes, everywhere around, but the Lord has preserved me. He's kept me to this day. He's blessed me. He's done this. He's done that. And Jacob, at that point, he literally is walking in the appearing of the Lord. The very first time the Lord appears to him, he says, "The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. This is Bethel. This is the house of God." The Lord appeared to him. The Lord appeared. He goes on, the Lord appears again. And then there's another appearing. There's a third appearing. And we did cover this in a previous class, I think two classes ago. The third appearing is where he's wrestling with the angel. And there's the name change. You're Jacob. What's your name? Jacob. You're no longer Jacob, but Israel. You're no longer Jacob, but Israel. A different understanding. He was walking in the appearing of the Lord, but now a different understanding. The appearing brings, the appearing of Christ, continuing in the appearing of Christ, in the revelation of the Jesus Christ, of the Son of God, brings different understanding, brings a greater understanding of what? Of what we received? No. Now it is His, of what He receives. His inheritance. His inheritance. I'll make mention also, let me just write that down real quick so I don't lose it. I'll make mention also of how in times past, I'd heard the story of, you know, Joshua going in and take the land, and makes an awesome song. You get excited, and now we're trying to listen. We, as the body of Christ, are now trying to possess what is ours, right? True, right? But I'm not sure who had mentioned it. I really can't remember, so forgive me if it's one of you guys in here that mentioned it to me. But I could never reconcile, after thinking about it, after they said it, and I started thinking about, yeah, you're right. If that, and that, yes, that can be a understanding. Us receiving what is ours, like I said, with us as the object, us as the recipients. But what about these? If we're receiving the land which is Christ, what about these inhabitants? There's nothing. There's no darkness in Christ. Well, what are they doing there? I couldn't really ever, you know, make a jive in my mind, you know. Where there's a greater understanding, there is this understanding. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. To the seed were the promises made. Not seeds as in many, but seed as in one, even Christ. To the seed were the promises made. God promises a land. Here, my son, this is your possession. So now Christ comes in to inherit his land, to take possession of what is rightfully his, given to him of the Father by the right of the firstborn. The inheritance is unto the firstborn, who he is, the firstborn from among the dead. So now it's Christ coming in and entering in and taking possession of what is rightfully his land. It's our soul. It's our soul. Okay? But once you are born again, I thought about this too. It's like, okay, well, once you're born again, the Lord immediately takes possession. He comes into the temple, just like as he did in John. He comes into the temple, makes a scourge of whip, and he drives out everything in a moment, and then he only remains. That is exactly what happens at new birth. At new birth, he comes into his house, into his temple, drives out immediately everything that's not him. He alone remains. The thing is, we, as those who are born again, are born blind, and we walk in ignorance. Ignorance of our heart. Ignorance of the one who is present. So if we are ignorant of the one who is present, we think that other things are present. Light the understanding of life, of the life that is present. Another verse in 2 Corinthians. If I can find it. I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God who commanded the light, going back to Genesis, to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. He's speaking of the revealing of the Son, the appearing of Christ, okay? To give, here it is, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge. You can circle that word, the knowledge. It's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is present in the soul in the face of Jesus Christ. When God, at new birth, when Christ fills his house, there's glory present. Remember, even typed in the Old Testament, when the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle or the temple, hey, there's man is not present anymore. There's no activity of man. There's nothing of man happening in the temple, but God alone. Now for us, who are born again, Christ, who is in the soul, filled the soul, the only one resident there, the only one there occupying his house, it is Christ's house, possessive, not my house, but it belongs my house. It is Christ's house. It's his house. He is the occupant. There needs the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the one who's resident. All right? I don't know how I got there. Oh, yeah. So my thought was this. Okay, Lord. So what is this whole thing with driving out the inhabitants? Well, what is that, Lord? If you immediately take possession of what is rightfully yours, And in seeing that in John, as you come into the temple and drive out everything that's not of you, and you only remain, then what is it that's typed in the Old Testament where they're driving out the inhabitants little by little? The light of the knowledge. It's the understanding. What remains? The imagination of the heart. The vain imagination of the heart. That's what remains. The vain imagination of the heart. I mean, you can look at this example, and someone gave this to me a long time ago, but now it makes more sense. You can look at this example. You can think of it like during wartime, and there is a POW, a prisoner of war, and the enemy has him, you know, and he's incarcerated. He's in the enemy's camp, right? And then all of a sudden, the war is ended. You know, the Allies, they've won the battle. The enemy is destroyed totally. But this person in this cell has no knowledge. So he remains a prisoner of ignorance of what the enemy tells him the whole time. Remains a prisoner. Hey, the bars are there. The enemy's there speaking to him. No, you stay there because the enemy says, I am in charge. No, it's not so. The war is won. The Allies have won the war. Now, that's just a type in a fig. You know, that's just an example. Okay? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Remember? The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. That we be renewed day by day by day. Listen, appearing by appearing by appearing. Revealing by revealing by revealing. The very exact same thing that the Lord spoke to Saul on the road to Tarsus when he was born again. Now he became Paul. He says, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this. Of what? Of this. Of this. Thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. There must be a seeing hereafter. There must be a continuing in purpose. There must be a continuing of walking in purpose. Okay? Now back to my notes. It is not so much us receiving, but it is Christ receiving His inheritance. Not so much us receiving Christ, listen, as a gift, which is true. Christ Himself is God's gift to the soul. The grace of God, the gift of God to the soul is very true. But listen to this. But Christ being given our soul of the Father. It's just a different object in view. In one, the same thing is happening, but in one, we are the object in view. In the other, Christ is the object in view. It's like me saying, oh, I love this pen. Here. No, because pen is a terrible way of looking at it. That's too crude. That falls too short. Let me just read on. It is Christ being given our soul as a gift of God to the Son. Okay, here's the example. It's the same thing is happening. In one, we have ourselves as the object, as the recipient, and it's God has given me salvation in the person of His Son, which is so true. So very true. So very true. But that's one understanding. In the other, it is, here, my son, what is rightfully yours. Take possession of what I have prepared for you. Take possession of what I have given you. Take possession of the land that I have promised you. Your inheritance in the saints. Now it is Christ as the object of God. No longer me as the object. Though we do benefit, the soul of man benefits, is a recipient of all these things. It's very true. But with that understanding, we are the object. But Christ is the object. He is the object of the Father. All right? It is the Father giving our soul as a gift to His Son. The Son is receiving His inheritance. The Son is receiving His inheritance. That was the whole big deal with that one parable that Jesus spoke. You know, they said, the parable was a landowner, and he rented out his land to the tenants, and then he sent his messengers, and the tenants, you know, killed them, stoned them, and the landowner says, okay, I'll send my son to collect what is mine. And then they say amongst themselves, this is the son. Let us kill him that the inheritance may be ours. And that's what they did. That's what they did. They refused Christ. They refused Christ. They said, we have no king but Caesar. They refused him. All right? It's not the appearing of the Lord, the revealing of the Son, is not so much a thing that we can, well, I think this is a good teaching. I think I want to learn about this. No. It's not a thing that we have a choice in. We are purposed for the appearing of the Son, not with us as the object, but Christ Himself, the Son, is the object. If we say, no, I don't, that teaching, I don't know about that or that type of theology, I don't know about that. If you're doing that, you are refusing Christ possession of what is rightfully His. Yeah. You're refusing Him lordship, for He is Lord. And the whole question with that, you know, David, the Lord, my God. And yet Saul speaks to Samuel, come, let us go worship the Lord, thy God, your Lord. He's not my Lord, He's your Lord. And Samuel, never governed by life, never walking in light. And David, walking in light of some understanding, even during that time. I mean, the guys, David was not a priest, and yet he's before the Ark of the Covenant. You can't do that. He's walking in a new covenant understanding, even in while being in the Old Testament. You know, my God, my Lord. So it's not a matter of us having a choice, yes or no, or maybe I will or maybe I won't. No, we are purposed for the appearing of Christ. We are purposed for the revealing of the Son. And yes, we will benefit, but He is the benefactor. He is the true benefactor. He is the object of His appearing. Okay, this is the Mount of Transfiguration. Yeah, just to give you an example of this, this is Matthew 17. Verses 1 through 8. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as light. Beautiful. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. It's good for us. Can you hear it? The object in view is Peter and the disciples. It's a good thing that we are here witnessing this. It is a good thing, Lord, that us three disciples are here beholding you. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles. One for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He has man as the object, man as themselves. It's great for us to be here. It is great for us to behold this, Lord. To behold you. It's great for us. Let us make for you three tabernacles, because I have man in view anyway. I'm the object in view. I'm the object of this appearing. Let's make one for Moses and Elijah too. They're men as well. Verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And the bright cloud is like the veil. You can see it in the tabernacle the first time when Moses... it said, Moses finished the work of the tabernacle, and the Lord filled the tabernacle with His glory. It's right before that, it says, a cloud descended upon the tabernacle, and the tabernacle was filled with the glory of God. There was a cloud on the outside, yet a bright shining glory, the Shekinah glory, on the inside. Okay? A bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. The object of this appearing is my Son. The "This is my beloved son." The father didn't say, "You have finally arrived, Peter, James, and John, to what I've purposed you for." No, no, no. The object is the son. "You've beheld my son. This is your purpose. My son, my beloved son." He is the object of this appearing, not you. He is the object. "And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid." Don't you love that? They fell on their face. It's no longer I the object, but the Son is the object. And it's a different, in this appearing of the Lord, it's a totally different deal. In this appearing, we take off our crown and we cast our crown before Him. Till this revealing of the Lord, we have our crown because we are the object in view. We're that object in view till He appears in this appearing of the Lord. Okay. So Peter said that. 3 tabernacles for Moses and Elijah also, because man is in view, but with the Father, Jesus, Christ is the object in view. No, no, you will not build, you will not make. No, 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 no. I will make, He will make the house, and He will be the inhabitant alone. Christ will be the object alone. I have another passage. This is Joshua chapter 5. And I have looked at this before here. And I've looked at it with the appearing of the Lord. And I've looked at it with man as the object. But that's one view. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho," so they'd crossed the Jordan, right, "that he lifted up his eyes and looked." I can hear, and I know you can probably hear this, Colossians 3, chapter 1 through probably verse 4. "Set your affection on that which is above, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then you also shall appear with Him in glory." All right. "That he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him," okay, here's Joshua, called of God, right? "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" Joshua has man as the object, as man as the recipient. "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Us, for us, or for our adversaries? Us. We are the people of God. Us. Us. Us is the object. And he said, "Nay." No. I mean, he did not even justify himself. The Lord did not even justify himself. He didn't even really go into detail with Joshua. He just says, "No, you have one object in view, and there's a greater object in view. You have yourself as that object, the affection of your heart, but there is a greater object that will be the affection of your heart." And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. Don't you love that? "And did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant?" There goes the crown. I'm no longer the object. I'm no longer the recipient. Yet, I serve the object. It makes more sense now, but I used to say this, that we can go serving the Lord and doing this and doing that, and yet if we are not walking in purpose, if we are not walking in the appearing of the Lord, then we are literally not serving purpose, and therefore we are actually not serving the Lord at all. Because we've seen the example, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I? Hey, I never knew you. I never had that face-to-face fellowship that is only found in my face. As your heart turns to the Lord and the veil is removed, and beholding is in a glass the glory of the Lord, being transformed into that same image. The face-to-face beholding. All right, so I used to say that. Walking in purpose. And it's so true. It makes more sense now. I mean, seeing this, if we are not walking in the appearing of the Lord, we are not walking in purpose. Therefore, we are not serving. Listen, who's serving who? We are not serving the Lord. Is the Lord serving our purpose? Is the Lord serving us? Or are we serving the Lord? Okay. Am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? I am now for your purpose. You in my heart have become the object. I am no longer the object, yet you are now become in my heart the object. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Holy. Okay. This is Joshua chapter 3, verse 7. Well, I'll start with verse 6. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, back to Genesis, the evening and the morning were the first day. The light of life appeared. The light of the day. The light of the world appeared. This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. This day. Because there's a different understanding with Moses as with Joshua. Right? With Moses, they never took possession of the land. They received the blessing of God. They died. They died while being full in the wilderness. They never walked. They never continued. Let me put it that way. They never continued in purpose. Their purpose was to testify of Christ, to take possession of the land as Christ does. They refused. They refused their purpose. And yet they walked in plenty. They always had food. They always had clothing. You know, they were blessed, but they died. So that's Moses. They receive, but they did not continue in purpose. With Joshua, it's all about purpose. We're going to take possession of what is the Lord's and what is rightfully His. And that's why they rise up and say, sure, we can take them. I mean, I'm thinking about the first time when the spies went into the land and, oh no, this is too great for us. They're too big. You know, Moses sends the spies and then Joshua and Caleb rise up. We can take them. They're bread for us. Why? Because it's not about us. We're not the object here. The Lord is the object. Christ is the object. He's the one that's being testified in this. The Father will not lose the testimony of His Son in this. We'll take the land because it's a type, it's a testimony of Christ taking the land. And the Lord will drive out everything that is not of His. That's why the Lord will go before us. That's why the Lord will drive out the inhabitants. Because He's making the way for a testimony of His Son. Okay? So, there. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. Where it's now a different understanding. No longer the Moses administration, but the Joshua administration. No longer the Moses understanding, but the Joshua understanding. Okay. Chapter 4 of Joshua, verse 11. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean, passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And verse 14, on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. But there's a greater understanding with Joshua going on. I'll read some other verses. I'll just even mention this. I won't go into it. I'll go into it in a next class coming up. In the testimony, you can look at this. The creation was made for Adam, not Adam for the creation. Does that make sense? Adam is a type of Christ. When God made the creation, He made it for Adam. And He brings everything to Adam so Adam can name it. So Adam can order it. So Adam can have dominion over his creation. So the creation was made for Adam to serve Adam, Adam's purpose, not Adam to serve the purpose of the creation. And that's just an example. I won't go into it. But it is, I've got it in a different class coming up. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Speaking of Jesus, speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Listen to this. All things were created by Him and for Him. Not He for it. He created all things. All things were created by Him and for Him, for His purpose. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. It's a Christ thing. Christ is the object. And by Him all things consist. For time's sake, I won't look at that definition. Yeah, I will. The term consist in verse 17 of Colossians chapter 1. The term consist is Strong's number 4921. In the Online Bible Greek Lexicon, it basically says this: to set one with another, to comprehend, establish, exhibit, unite parts into one whole. Consist, okay? To comprehend. Christ is the comprehension, the understanding of all things. Remember? You search for life. I'm it. The fragments gathered. Unite the parts into one whole. All the fragments gathered, they're a type of Christ. Christ is the object. Incorrect. And that, when we are viewing, listen to this, when we are viewing the Scriptures and seeing the testimony of Christ in them, then they are in their, how do I have it? They are in order. They're in order. They're in harmony. They're in the purpose for which they were created. When we are viewing the Scriptures and we have us as the object, then they are no longer in order. No longer in harmony. No longer serving the purpose for which the Scriptures were created. Okay? I'll skip that. Here's Colossians 1:19 through 20. A little further. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. It goes on, they testify of Me. The term reconcile, Strong's number 604, they are they that testify of Me, recovering the testimony. To reconcile completely, to reconcile back again, bring back a former state of harmony. They are they that testify of Me. Okay, it almost seems like we're going into a different class there. John, I'll continue on with the verses. John chapter 3, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son. Just think about that. The Father loveth the Son. This is My beloved Son. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hand. And that all things includes our soul. Into His hand. Okay? John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. I'll read a couple of verses. Verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knowing that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Skipping down to verse 3. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into His hands. The Father given Him all things into His hands. John chapter 16, a little further, 12 through 15. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you that which is to come. And you can actually check this out, where it says, and He will show you things to come. The term things is Strong's number 3588, and to come is Strong's number 2064. You can see the very exact same thing that Paul was speaking to, that the Lord was speaking to Saul at the time in Acts 26:16. This thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. I have appeared unto thee, and I will continue to appear unto thee. I am that which will come hereafter. It's the same thing. You can search it out. Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, He shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, that He shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down in the right hand of the Majesty on high. I love this. Hebrews, going on further in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. For both He that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. Showing, hey, man is receiving, right? Man is being sanctified because he's sanctifying. The verse goes on. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing thy praise, will I sing praise unto thee. Okay, there's one object. Man is the object, man is the recipient, okay? The verse goes on, verse 13. And again, see, the writer of Hebrews didn't leave man as the object, but, and again, verse 13, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Christ speaking. I and that which the Father hath given me. The greater view. Christ the object. Hebrews chapter 3. Verses 1 through 6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but He that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony. He served the testimony. He served purpose. Now we get all excited about Moses. All Moses was doing was serving purpose. He was serving his purpose for existing. Moses wasn't out to make himself a great name. Moses wasn't out to be called the man of God, though he is called the man of God, because he is a testimony of Christ. Moses was just serving purpose. The Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Moses said, "Now I will turn aside and behold this great sight." And that's where it all begins. The beholding of the Lord. That's where he began to walk in purpose. He was serving purpose. That's all he did, was serve purpose. Okay? Verse 5, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of that which were those things which were to be spoken after." Verse 6, "But Christ as a son over his house, whose house we are." And I know we've said this before, we are the house of God, the soul is the temple of God. It's his house. It's a different object in view. It's no longer man as the recipient, but Christ. It's his house. He takes possession of what is rightfully his. It's his house. It's not my house. It's his house. He owns. Like, if you have a house, it's your house. It's your house. It's not brother or sister so-and-so's or Joe whoever's house. It's not their house. It's your house. You own it. It is yours for your purpose. How much greater Christ, whose house? Whose house we are. Does that make sense? We are his house. We are his house. He takes possession of his house. Okay? "If we hold fast the confidence of the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." And then I've got a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 3:16. I love this. "Know ye not?" It's like a greater understanding that I'm having with the exact same verses with Paul. "Don't you know?" Understanding. "Don't you know that you are the temple of God? You are God's temple. You're not your own, but God. God's temple. And the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." 1 Corinthians 6:19. "What? Know you not?" Don't you have this understanding? "That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and you are not your own? The children which God hath given me." You're not your own, but you're bought with a price? 2 Corinthians 6:16. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." You're his temple, as God said. They testify of me, as God said, "I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." They're mine. They're mine. For my purpose, for my end, for my goal, for my object, for my beloved object, for the purpose of my son. Okay? The verse that one of the verses that I began with, this is Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. I love this. I love this. "And the four beasts had each of them six wings. Each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within." Don't you like that? Full of eyes within. Hey, there was a seeing that was from within. There was an understanding. There was a light. There was a knowledge. In Spanish, it's called conocimiento. there was a seeing from within. Hallelujah. That God would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and understanding and the revelation of Jesus Christ. The eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Not your natural eyes, but the eyes of your understanding from within. Within. New covenant is from within. Old covenant is from without. Old covenant has man as the object. New covenant, Christ is the object. "Full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth..." Don't you see it with Joshua? They fall down. They worship him that liveth forever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive. I'll just stop right there. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive. I am not worthy to receive. What did Paul say? Paul, you know, to me who am least of all the saints, I'm not worthy because I know the one who is worthy. I have an understanding. I've seen the object. I've seen the object of purpose, the beloved Son Himself. He is the recipient. Thou art worthy to receive. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Listen, for Thou hast created all things, all that Thou hast created, all things, and for Thy pleasure, for Thy purpose, they are and were created. The term pleasure is Strong's number 2307. In the Strong's it says desire, pleasure, will. In the Online Bible Greek Lexicon is or has determined, shall be done, of the purpose of God, will, inclination, desire, pleasure. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy purpose, and I use the term purpose, were they created. For His appearing were they created. Listen to it, listen to it. All things of the Old Covenant, they were created with one purpose, to testify of Christ. That Christ would have His appearing in it. I think Jason Henderson said it that way. The whole Old Testament, he said it at the last conference, was for the appearing of the Lord. If there was something made, look, the Lord appeared. Something else made, look, the Lord appeared. Something else created, look, the Lord appeared. And how true it is. All things for His appearing. All things of the testimony, of the testament, that would testify of Him, of the creation, of that creation, that would testify of Him, of that world, that would testify of Him to the new creation for His appearing. How much greater the new creation? The reality of what this testified of, the new creation. Behold, if any man in Christ, a new creation. A new creation. And what does God do in His creation? Let there be light. The first thing that He does in His creation, let there be light. Are we recipients? Yes. Are we benefactors? Yes. Do we benefit? Are we blessed? Yes. But it is unto the Son for His purpose, for His inheritance in the saints. His receiving of the Father what is rightfully His by birthright. The inheritance of the firstborn. I could go on, the appearing of Christ in His house. Were created, a Strong's number 2936. It basically means to make habitable, to create, of God creating the worlds. That is completely changed or transformed or transformed. Have you ever thought about that one? We read the verse. Actually, I quoted it. Let's look at it again. 2 Corinthians. But we all, with unveiled face. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Those whose hearts are not turned to the Lord. He's speaking specifically of the Jews who are not born again, who must come to the first appearing of Christ, life appearing where there was no life before. Okay? Verse 16. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all in Christ, we all who are born again, we all who have received life, we all whose hearts are turned unto the Lord, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Transformed. In the transformation, guess what happens? The transformation of the land. The Lord is taking possession of what is rightfully His. Can't you see it? The light filling, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God filling the land. The light filling the land. It all centers around Christ. Christ is the object. The purpose for the soul does not have man as its object. The revealing of the Son does not have man as its object, but Christ, the Son. This is my beloved Son. But when it pleased God who revealed His Son in me, why does it please God? Because His Son is taking possession of what is rightfully His. It's like I know we see it this way, and it is true. It's a true example. The Father handing us a gift, and that gift is Christ. And we open that gift, and we get excited over the gift. We get excited, and the Father gets excited over the gift that we have received, right? That we received, and we receive. We don't reject like the Jews did, but we receive. To them that received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. Receive. It's very true. But look at this example. Here's the Father presenting our soul as a gift to His beloved Son. And this Father saying, here's your inheritance. Take, possess what is rightfully yours. What I have given you, your inheritance. Inheritance of the firstborn, because you are my firstborn. Your inheritance. And the Son saying, thank you, Father. I will take possession of what you have given. The transforming of the soul is Christ taking possession of what is rightfully His, bearing His image, no longer our own. I could go on and on and on, and it is, man is not the object. Christ is the object. It is not so much us receiving as it is Christ, the Son, the beloved Son of God, receiving what is rightfully His. So I'll just end with that. And may the Lord deal with our hearts. May the Lord continually deal with our hearts. The Holy Spirit deals with our hearts. He deals with our hearts that our hearts would turn, that the veil would be removed, and that we would behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord and be transformed into that same image. But may He deal with our hearts that object would come into view. That Christ in our hearts would be the recipient. No longer us, which we will, yeah. We will receive. We will receive. We will receive, yes, praise God, we will receive. But may it be just like as Joshua and the elders. Hey, what wilt thou have me do, your servant? You are the recipient of this one. You are the recipient in this appearing. You are the object for this appearing. You are the object for this revealing. No longer I, not I, but Christ. So, with that I'll end, and may the Lord just deal with our hearts to continue in purpose, to continue walking in the day, to continue walking in the light, to continue being renewed day by day by day, appearing by appearing by appearing. So, that I'll end. Amen.